This is the Kartik class, Glorious Sevas of Srimati Radharani, October 13th. Pande Guru Paradvandham Bhakta Vrinda Samanditam Sri Chaitanya Prabham Pande Nityananda Sahoditam Sri Nandanandanam Pande Radhika Charana Dvayam Gopijana Samayuktam Vrindavana Manoharam Amala Kamala Raji Sparshi Vata Prashite Nijasarsi Nidagi Sayamala Saniyam Parijana Gana Yukta Kriyanti Pakarim Snapayati Nijadasi Radhika Mantadaru. So we're discussing different topics about mandris, and yesterday we heard about how the mandris they experience Madhura Rati and their Stai Rati with Krishna due to their full identification with Srimati Radharani. And now we want to mention something about the relationships, how the mandris relate to different sakis like Vishaka or their leader Rupa Manjari, or what to speak of Chandravali. And it's an interesting point when you think about it, because the author of Stavavali is Raghunath Das Goswami. And in this particular book, in Stavavali, one poem is called Brajvilas Stava. So these are prayers to the different members, the different associates of Krishna, the eternal associates of Krishna, which make the Vilas happen, which make the pastimes happen. So in these prayers, there's a prayer to Mukara, because Mukara plays a role in the intimate pastimes of Radharani. Mukara, she lives here in Mukarai, her village is here, and Rabal also. So there's a prayer glorifying Mukara, so we have some idea about her. Then there's prayers to Vishaka, then there's prayers to Lalita and Vrinda Devi, and all the different Dhanishta, Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, Vrishabhanu, Subal, Sridham, Kirtida. There's all prayers in this book, Brajavilastava. And it's told, those that teach the Ragmarg, they say that this is a very important book, Brajavilastava. And Acharyas have written commentaries on them also, which are available to further enhance one's understanding. The main point is very fundamental and very basic, is that we're going to enter a family. By taking Diksha, the Vaishnava Diksha, as a Krishna Bhakta, we enter a Gotra. Gotra means family. In India, they have many Gotras that are descendants and family lineages that are connected to some Grihastha Rishi, like Kashyap Muni and Shandilya, and there's so many Gotras in India. Vyas Gotra, and this one, that one. Vyas, of course, was a married person. So we have what our Gotra is from the West, that's something interesting. But when one takes Diksha, then he's considered he's entering the family of Krishna, which is called Achyuta Gotra. I think everyone's heard about that. So that's the generic identity of any Krishna Bhakta. When you do puja or yagyas or some worship in a tirtha or a holy place like Haridwar, Ayodhya or Benares or Pushkar, Dwarka, Puri, Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri, etc., then the pujaris will do different things. They'll tell you what month it is. They'll say Kartik Maina, then Krishna Paksha Dvitiya, or Tritiya Titi, and Radhakundame, and Apka Gotra, and then you say your Gotra. Apkanam, you say Mrs. Gupta or something. And then they say Brahmandan, and so many things they say, and then they throw flower, offer Pushpanjali, and worship Radhakund. Maybe some of you have done it. So they ask you Achyuta Gotra, or so what we say Achyuta Gotra, my name is Krishnadas or Radhadasi. But now, when that's for everyone, all Krishna Bhaktas and all Vaishnava Sampradayas, they will identify their higher, larger identity beyond their birth and beyond their body as Achyuta Gotra. This is the Atma Gotra, the family of the soul. I may be born in India, and I may be of Kashyap Gotra or some other Gotra. But, or Gotam, Gotam Rishi had a Gotra, has a Gotra, Gotam Rishi, Shanak Rishi, Pamina, Kashyap Muni, and so many are there. So now, when we become a devotee, then that's our paramartic identity, that's the identity of your Atma, that's our Sanatan Dharmic identity. That's an eternal family. We may be Kashyap Gotra in this life, the next life Vyas Gotra. You know, like the soul may travel somewhere and end up over there. Or American Gotra. It can be that many Europeans and Westerners sitting in this audience. It's very likely that if you go to Bhrigu Rishi, and then a representative of Bhrigu Rishi, and he does your Bhrigu chart to tell you your prior life, your previous life, he'll say, you were born in India. You are a queen of India. Shamrani. Shamrani, right? So then you're born in Germany or whatever. That's a queen in Germany. So then you can even have some unknown Gotra. But now we take, so in Vaidhi Marg, everyone's a Chuta Gotra. But what about in Raghunuga? In Raghunuga Marg, we enter the family of Krishna, but not in a general way, like everyone in Vaikuntha and all Vishnu Bhaktas and Ram Bhaktas. Everyone's in a Chuta Gotra, the family of God. God's family, Chuta Gotra. But in Raghunuga Marg, then you enter the family of the Brijvasis. You will be born from a Brijvasi. Be born from a lady, one of a Brijvasi gopi. And so then your family will be all members of Krishna's caste, all his associates and his grandmother and his grandfather, Parjanya. And you will know all these names and you'll know all these people and what they look like and you'll see them. But in Raghunuga Marg, we're supposed to familiarize ourselves with our own future identity and with our own future family and with our own future place of residence. It's like familiarizing yourself with a foreign land. If you want to go on a vacation, you say, well, I want to go to a truck. You're living in Denmark or Sweden and it's very cold, and you want to go to some South America, to some tropical rainforest. So you have to familiarize yourself with the environment. Where am I going? And then adopt the proper dress and have some acquaintances there. And who will you meet and who will you stay with? You're going to move there. So it's a common thing. So the acharyas of Raghunuga Bhakti, like especially Raghunath Das and Rupa Goswami, they are giving us essential books to prepare our mind and fill our heart with familiarity, attraction, and attachment to the eternal players in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna's Nitya Leela and Brajadana. So one key book for that, learning that, and there aren't that many books, Radha Krishna Gaurav Gesh Deepika is by Rupa Goswami, then Stavavali is kind of a sequel to that, because Rupa wrote his book first. He wrote the Stavamala, and then the Stavavali. Mala means a necklace of padas and verses, and avali means a series of arosa. So the Stavamala by Rupa Goswami has many different poems and shlokas inside. And then the Stavavali has many. So the Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika, of course, is a separate book, I believe. But it talks about I mentioned the other day, the group of elderly sakis, there's a name for them. They're eternal associates of Krishna, and they're eternal sevas to rebuke and chastise Krishna. and speak gully. You're a Hindu person. Gully means to speak bad words to everyone else. Oh, you're calling him a dirty and bad and ill-behaved and a cheater. And anybody, if you're standing in the street and someone's calling you a cheater and a liar and a thief, and anyone else hears that, they'll think, well, this is very bad. He must be a very bad person, and this other person is chastising him. He's calling him a thief and a cheat and a kapat and a lumpat and a chore. And he's a womanizer. I better go home and lock up my wife or whatever. So that would be in a modern society. So when Krishna hears all that in Vrindavan, he says, oh, this is wonderful, this is nectar. So this Stavavali is a very important book for us when we grew up in this world, we all went to grammar school, high school, etc. And we studied world history and world geography and mathematics and so many things. We learned about a panorama of historical personalities in our particular countries. Every country has its own heroes. Germany has its heroes. Italy has its heroes. America has its Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, Abraham Lincoln and Thomas Edison. A whole long list of them. And every country has the same long list. In America, they say, one American, he discovered electricity. You go to England, they'll say one Englishman discovered electricity. You go to France, they'll say one Frenchman discovered electricity. And you go to India, they'll say Jagadish Chandra Bose, a Bengali from Calcutta, he discovered electricity, and the other guy stole it from him. So in this way, every country has their heroes and their inventors. And you have to memorize these. In 1614, they signed the Magna Carta. And in 1770, and all these crazy numbers and things. Worthless, meaningless waste of time. No value. It has immediate value. It's called prayas. It has immediate value. You have to cram it in your little brain as a little boy or girl, then spit it back out on the exam. But this information about the names and history, who's the father, who's the grandfather, where did they live? Oh, Krishna lived 3 years and 3 months in Gokul, then 3 years and 3 months in Chatikar, then 3 years and 6 months in Gokul, then 3 years and 6 months in Chatikar, and 3 years and 6 months in Nandagram. So that becomes 9 plus 18. So 18 becomes 10. So at the age of 10 years and 6 months, Krishna left Nandagram to go to. So we say at the age of 11, Krishna left Vrindavan to go to Mathura. So these kind of numbers we know, and the Krishna's fifth, this is a very mystical one. How can one have an age like this? I don't know. But Krishna's age is 15 years, 9 months, 7 and a half days. And this is what the Acharyas tell us. And Radharani's age, eternal age, is 14 years, 2 months, and 15 days. And they have birthdays, and like Vishakha, she goes down and buys birthday cards and sends a birthday card to Radharani on her birthday, or sends her an SMS. Just like we take notice of people's birthdays. So Lalita's a big sister, she's 27 days older. So the birthdays are given, the days, the ages. So this becomes a new world, and this is called Shreyas. Shreyas has long-term benefit. We learn it now, it's beneficial for our bhajan and for our hearts and for our minds. We fill our minds with pictures of Mukhara and Nandabhava and Yashoda and Radharani and Lalita. Because it's beneficial, and immediately, right now, it gives us something to wrap our wayward, crazy minds around. Besides, Twitter and bitter and this, bitter Twitter and the other things that are going on, and we can wrap our minds around these personalities and their names and forms and their qualities and their pastimes, beginning with Krishna and Radha, then the whole entourage. It's a whole cast, not that many, so don't get too worried. The Stavavali has about 20, maybe maximum 20 characters. 20 characters. than in your own Sakigan. So at one given, at a certain given point, a working model, this topic today is relationships, the mantri's relationships with the Sakis. This is part of the talk. So a working model for someone who's interested in Gopi Bhav or following Raghunuga Bhakti in that mood of the Gopis of Vrindavan following Raghunath Das and Rupa Mantri, Rupa Goswami. A working model, a group of associates of Sakis, Mandiris, and elderly Gopis and elderly Gopas, and a few Palinda women thrown in there, and Bringi, that's one name of one Palinda woman is Bringi. And the whole working model is no more than about 50 names. It's about 50. Because there's you and your eight Mandiris in your group, and it's like, say, 50. So even now, in our life, in our own family, especially in India, everyone has a working model of their family of about 50. Mother, mother-in-law, father-in-law, mother-in-law, sister-in-law, maximum. So even then, it's not that much memorization. I know we're all old, and we're lazy, and we want everything just... just automatic. And you have to make a relationship with the squirrels of Vrindavan also, and the monkeys. Make sure you read the sign, don't feed the squirrels. Whatever happens, whatever you want to do, it's okay. There's buzzing. But I don't get my carpet dirty. Feed them over on the grass. Put the biscuits on the grass. Anyway, he's fortunate. He'll live and die in Braj hearing Bhagavad Saptahas his whole life. So this is, it's exciting, at least to me, to know that we're going to the spiritual world and we're going to be eye to eye and arm to arm with all, you know, these wonderful personalities. What I call the really beautiful people. When I was young, which was about quite a while back, 50 years or so, or more, there was a phrase in California where I was living that the beautiful people, it's quite hackneyed and trite and old now, but the beautiful people, they had all the good looks and all the talents and all the fame and money, like the movie stars, the beautiful people. But when I came to know about the Vrijvasis and Radharani and Sakis and Mandiris and Coward Boys, everyone, it's not just that I'm only of Radharani's party. We also, Subal and Sridhar and all the Priyanarma Sakas, Kin Kinney and Kokila, and Bangura, they're all part of the entourage. There's eight sukkas that have kunjas at Shamakund. So they're the most intimate sukkas of Krishna. They know about his Madhurya Ras. There's a little bit of a comic element here in our class because the squirrels are greatly running up and down people's backs and things. This is the idea that Vrindavan is called a land of play. Everything we see should remind us of the goal. This is called Leela Dham, Leela Bhumi. Braja Bhumi is called Bhumi, a land of Leela, land of play, a playland of love. So everyone's playing. As you live here longer, you'll see so many playful, funny scenes with animals and people that you will actually come to understand that Vrindavan is actually many levels, but you can't take out this reality that Vrindavan is really a land of play. Because it's called Krida. Krida means play. Rasa Krida. You must have heard this term, Rasa Krida. Means to play in the ras. To play and taste the different flavors of love in all its different presentations. So when you see squirrels wrestling and chasing each other's tails and up and down the trees, they're playing. Because so that should remind you, that's what Krishna does. Read the 11th chapter, 10th canto of Bhagavatam, read chapter 11 and chapter 12. In the Tika of those chapters, commentaries, Krishna Chakravarti said, if you want to get free from material desires, then read about the playful childhood pastimes of Krishna and the cowherd boys in chapter 11 and 12 of the 10th canto. And it describes how they would climb the trees and they would catch the tails of the baby monkeys, and the baby monkeys would turn around and make a face, and then they might make a face, then the mother would chase them, they would jump off the tree into the water, the boys, the cowherd boys. And they're playing leapfrog, they're chasing, the birds would be flying along the water, those baka, those ducks that eat the fish, those kind of long leap. So they're flying along the shore, the Yamuna, looking for fish. And then they're making a shadow. So the boys would say, let's have a game, let's chase the shadows. They're running down the beach following the shadow of the birds. They're just playing. And then there's some well, some gopis dug a well in the ground, and it's an abandoned well, or maybe it's a regular well. And the cowherd boys would go to the well and they lean over and say, you dirty man! They would yell down, say, you dirty man! Then the echo would come back, you dirty man! And then when the boys would hear that echo, they would say, hey, be quiet or I'll kill you! Then it would come back, be quiet or I'll kill you! So they would play in so many ways. Another fun game they would play when they were taking prasadam. They all had their lunch tiffins. And they would open them up and start trading with each other. Like we do that in school in modern days. Oh, I have cheese crackers. Oh, I have Oreos. No, I'll trade you these for that. You know, people trade in school. Trade your samosa for my rasgullas. So the boys were all eating. And one boy, he went off to the side. He's a little bit mischievous, but... And he saw some flowers. Some of these yellow, weedy, weed-type flowers. Dandelion. Very bitter flower. So he poked a little hole in the samosa. And then he took out and he stuffed the flower inside that samosa. A couple of flowers. And he kind of sealed it up. Because lots of ghee, so he's rubbed it like that. So, oh, boys, I have a very, very special samosa. My mother made me. I only have one left. I ate 5, 6 already. I only have one left. Who wants to try? So then he's, oh, I'll try it. They're eager to taste this wonderful samosa. So then they take it. When he bites it, he makes it. It's all bitter and sour. Ugh! And so he starts laughing. The boy that gave it starts laughing. And everyone's laughing that he ate this bitter flower stuffed samosa. And then the boy who gave that samosa gets playfully beaten. He gets playfully beaten by the boy that ate it, which is natural. So in all these ways, this is how the boys play, and this is Vrindavan, the land of play. So they're all the relationships. This is a discussion about Sakis and Manjari's relationships, specifically with each other. It's all to enhance the loving play of Radha and Krishna. And one verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami says, Kaishara Sapala Rasa says Radha Milang Rati Kriya. Kaishara Sapala Radha Milang Rati Kriya. It says that, as Rupa Goswami is saying, that the purpose, the fruit, Kaishara Phalam, Sapalam, the complete fruit of Krishna's youthful age. He's a young boy, young, robust, handsome, dashing, dear little teenager. That the purpose of his youth is to meet with Radharani and enjoy conjugal pastimes in the bushes of Vrindavan. Rati Kriya Van Rajavanne. There's a verse in Sanskrit like that. So this is our God. Our God's a teenager, and just moment to moment he's thinking, how can I meet with my girlfriend? It doesn't sound much different than teenagers nowadays. Teenagers nowadays, a boy or girl, they may be thinking, when can I meet my girlfriend? But everything begins there. And of course there it's pure and transcendental, eternal and divine. And thinking about their activities or serving them is a pavitram and mangalam. Pavitram and mangalam. Auspicious and purifying and also elevating. you meditate on Krishna's pastimes or the gopis, you become liberated and never take birth again and get a divine spiritual body to eternally serve Radha and Krishna in Golokadam. But if you meditate on the pastime, well, not pastimes, but the mundane activities of men and women of this world, then you become condemned. You become bound in birth and death, life after life, and you rotate through different species depending on the perversions of your mind and desire. Sometimes human, sometimes dog, sometimes female, sometimes male, pig, dog, monkey, human, demigod. So there's not much success in that type of meditation. But when we meditate on Krishna in any of his leelas, in any of his forms, we attain spiritual, eternal perfection. So how do the mandris relate with other sakis of Radharani, like the Ashtasakis? The mandris, they always cultivate a submissive attitude of love and service towards all the sakis of Radharani's group. The mandris also show a respectful attitude towards Chandravali and other Vipaksha sakis, who are the anti-party or the rivals of Radharani, Padma, Shaivya, etc. However, during some pastimes, perceiving the indication of Radha, by perceiving the indication or desire of Radha or their own Yudheshwari, Gopi group leader, this is the mandris. Mandris under Lalita or Vishaka, Pandavidya, Sudevi, Pandavidya. They, although they generally are respectful and to Chandravali and other enemies of Radharani, but sometimes they become, they will ridicule and mock and imitate Chandravali or her members of her party. But this is all simply to enhance the pastimes. All the acharyas and bhajans and shastras, they teach that one must follow in the footsteps of Krishna's brajagopis if he or she wants to go to Goloka Vrindavan and serve Radha and Krishna in the mode of a gopi. Apparently, it's quite a sensation on your little squirrel feet to walk on a dari. Usually, they walk on trees and grass. So now this is his living room. Now he has wall-to-wall carpet. He doesn't know what to make of it. Modern squirrel. Usually, he just runs on the grass. Now he's like, what is this? It's like a moonwalk. The Guleri's like on a moonwalk, and they're like, wow. And he's just exploring. Now he's going to go tell his wife and kids, come on, let's check it out. I got a new apartment with room to, you know, wall to wall carpet. They'd rather go up the trees, I guess. Brajadam. Well, I was mentioning about funny scenes that you'll see in Vrindavan. You're seeing this. I see that after you live here for 27 years and seen so many things, or 10 years, whatever, you realize that it is quite a playful land. So one of the classic ones is you're sitting at Radhakund in a very serious mood and you're trying to meditate on the pastimes. And all of a sudden there's some little dog walking near here, and he's on this sidewalk and a perpendicular, you know, he's on the west side, you're on the south side. He's just walking along. Then some monkeys jump down and make faces at him and he barks. And then they run back and forth chasing each other. Then one baby monkey jumps on a baby dog's back and he holds his ears. he's like riding a jockey and a horse rider, a jockey on a horse. And he won't let go, and the dog goes, oh! And the monkeys, because the monkeys have four hands, you know, their feet look like this. You know, it's called opposable. The thumb is opposite, called opposable thumb. So their hands look like this, and their feet look like that. So he's holding with his feet, his hands, which we call feet. He's holding the body of the dog like this loose skin. Babies, dogs have very loose skin. So monkeys are tough. The dog is going like this, the fucking dog. And he's running, he runs down this way 25 feet, and then he turns around, oh, and you're Hare Krishna. You're supposed to be deeply meditating on the eternal pastimes of Radha Krishna, and this like Hasya-rasa is being slapped in your face. You know, I mean, the ultimate funniest scene you've ever seen in your life. And you're like, no, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I'll close my eyes, you know. And then you just, and then people are sitting here, other people are chanting also. It's a very favorite and powerful place to chant at Radharani, Radhakanda's Radharani Swarup, directly. So you're looking at them, they're looking at them. And everyone's trying to be sober and meditative, and it's all around, there's so many wild scenes going on. So that, has anyone seen that one? Oh, you, 50% of your life is wasted. What is your Brajavas? Oh, I know, you're only seeing Leela, and you saw this Spurti yesterday, and Krishna was painting right around his feet. Okay, that's, excuse me, I'm trying to get there. So the Braj is full of externally amazing sights, and moreover, it's the most conducive place in the universe to experience internally amazing visions, darshans, dreams, spurtis. That is why we live here, because this is Chintamani Bhumi Vrindavan. One speck of this Kan Kan Bole Shri Radha Radha. Kan Kan. Kan Kan means one atom, one tiny itsy bitsy piece of Brajaraj, Brajarena. Particle of dust. Stita Duli. Stita Duli. Duli means dust. One particle can fulfill all your desires. One particle of dust of Vrindavan can show you the full form of Krishna, the full form of Radharani, everything, in one particle of dust. In one baby's mouth you can see the universe. In one particle of dust you can see your sarup. You can see Krishna, Radharani, and you can see Rasalila in one particle of dust. Particle of dust is this big. Baby's mouth is this big. Not much difference between a particle of dust and a baby's mouth. And when in Vrindavan, if you look in a baby's mouth anywhere else, you see maybe a tooth, maybe one or two teeth at the right time. But if you look in baby Gopal's mouth at Brahmandagat, you see the entire universe, Viratarup. This is Braja. This is Vrindavan. So they have, they teach us that we have to follow them. And you see so many examples in Shastras. It's not a new thing to follow the gopis. Well, following the gopis is some new practice. And starting in Treta Yuga, Treta Yuga is like 3 million years ago. 3 million years ago, Rupa Goswami, excuse me, 3 million years ago, there were great devotees of the Lord, as there are now, and 10 million years ago. 3 million years ago, Ramchandra was here. On this planet, Bhagavan Ramachandra. And the sages at Dandakaranya, they were great rishis and sages, completely self-controlled, celibate monks. And they were hankering to have Madhurya Ras with Ram. So then he blessed them. He said, you must come, you must appear when I appear as Krishna. But you must follow the gopis if you want to attain that. So for millions of years, great sages and rishis have been humbly following the footsteps of these cowherd damsels of Vrindavan, the cowherd damsels of Brajabhumi, for millions of years, because Krishna's lila is nitya, and the shastras and the shabda is nitya. So the awareness and understanding of how to follow the path, gopi path. And then the Shrutis are the eternal sound vibration of the Vedas personified, the Shrutis. They live the pastimes of the Shrutis, and the vibration of the Shrutis are the descriptions of the gopis and the vibrations. I mean, gopis and Krishna are Leelas. And so then the Shrutis, carrying all those descriptions and carrying all those vibrations in sutras and condensed ways, then they became attracted and they wanted to become gopis. So the Shrutis personified, they also became gopis. And Gayatri Devi, the Brahma Gayatri. Gayatri Mata, she heard about the gopis and that she wanted to be a gopi. And so many great rishis and Gayatri Devi. What to speak of Lakshmi Devi? Lakshmi Devi is the eternal divine consort of Narayan, Vishnu. And she also heard about the gopis, and Vaikuntha she heard about it. She said, I want to be one too. But I know that to be a gopi, I have to go to Vrindavan. That's where the gopis are. But she came to Vrindavan. But she didn't take birth from a womb of a gopi. Because she's all the power of God. She's the divine energy of Narayan. So she just manifested in Vrindavan. And she said, all these rishis, Shukicharis before me, and the Dandakaranya sages, they performed intense austerities. They performed intense austerities, and they attained Krishna as gopis. So I will also perform intense austerities and control my senses. And so then, she did that, lived in Bailvan. But one thing she missed, the Shukicharis and the Shukis and the Rishicharis, and all these, they not only they performed austerities for thousands and millions of years, but in Anugatya, the Braja Gopis, they were following the Gopis' moods and sevas and hankering to have those moods and those sevas and desiring to be a Gopi, or the Gopis' body and the Gopis' bhav and the Gopis' mood of humble seva and cooperative service. She didn't adopt that. She actually didn't follow the Gopis' bhav. She didn't surrender herself to a Gopi and become Anugatya of that. She was just sitting in meditation, trying to attain Krishna. She's still there. You can see her in Bailvan, Lakshmivan. Ever seen a murti of Lakshmi Devi there? Usually she's standing like this. She's giving everybody blessings. If you see Lakshmi Narayan Devis, oftentimes people buy Radharani, or what they think is Radharani. And one hand's a lotus flower, and the other's like this. But that's actually Lakshmi Devi. Holding a lotus flower and then giving blessings. A lotus, usually left hand is lotus, right hand is lotus. And Radharani's dancing. She's always dancing. Always dancing or offering something to Krishna. She's too busy serving Krishna to give any blessings. But Lakshmi is also serving Narayan and massaging his feet eternally, but she has enough time to give blessings. Lakshmi, you see Lakshmi like this. You never see Radharani like this. Have you seen? She's always like this. Offering tambo, or offering a garland, or dancing and dancing mudra. It's just Radharani. And seva. She doesn't think that I can give blessings. I'm simply a dasi of my sham. Lakshmi thinks, yes, I'm the god. I am the goddess of fortune. I am the wife of Lord Narayan. I can give blessings. And that very ego, that Purusha Abhiman, is what blocked her, blocked Lakshmi from entering Rasa dance. She couldn't develop that humility of the gopis. And even there's pastimes in different Puranas, how Purnamasi comes, Yogamaya comes and interviews her when she was in Bailvan, and then Krishna came one time and interviewed her. And she failed the examination. See, even Lakshmi Devi had a test. We talked about examinations and tests. She was tested on how much her gopitwa, how much, what is her tendency to be a gopi? She was tested one time by Yogamaya, one time by Krishna. But that's a little on the side point. You can hear that. Confirm. So back to the relationships of the Sakis and Manjaris. So they practice sadhana in the mood and manner of the eternal associates of Radha and Krishna, like the Sakis. And every day, of course, we sing that song, which we mentioned before, in the Tulsi prayer. Ene da dana daro sakira anagatakara sevadikara diye koranijadasi. We pray to Tulsi, we say, give me the adhikar, give me the eligibility and qualification, become your dasi. So we're following Brinda Devi, we're worshipping Brinda Devi every every day, and we're respectfully circumambulating her and personally maintaining her body, bathing her and dressing her, just like a Sakhi. We're bathing, we bathe our Yudheshri, we bathe our Guru Sakhi, we bathe Vrindadevi, we dress Vrindadevi, we wash, we offer arti to Vrindadevi, we offer arti to our Yudheshri, we offer arti to our Guru Sakhi. So Vrindadevi, we're following the footsteps of Vrindadevi. E neva dhanadara. My request, my nivedan, my petition, my humble request, e neva dhanadara. Nivedan. It's called Nivedan. E neve nivedan dara. Sakirana gatapana. My request is that please, I'm following you and I'm worshipping you, that I can become a follower of Rupa Rati Mandri. And all my Sakhi Parampara, all our gurus are Sakhis, and I want to be there at their lotus feet, serving them in the spiritual world, in my divine spiritual body, Siddha Sarup. So Bhakta Joe is offering Tulsi Arti and praying for Gopi Bhav. So the first day in the movement. It's very interesting because in Gaudiya Math they sing a prayer by Chandrasekhar. Chandrasekhar Acharya. Chandrasekhar was the he's a contemporary of Jagannath Mishra in Gauralila, and I believe it's the same person, maybe someone with a similar name. But there's a bhajan by Chandrasekhar where it's an artik bhajan to Tulsi Devi, and it used to be in the old Vaishnav songbook, this kind of Vaishnav songbook when I joined. There were two prayers there. And this prayer, the refrain of that prayer. Has anyone heard this prayer? Chandrasekhar Acharya. Namo Namo Tulsi Maharani Vrinde Maharani. Namo Namo. And then there's so many verses. But in the verses, it's been a long time as I sang the song. But in the verses, I think it talks about Narayan and like that Tulsi Narayan relationship from Brahma Bhagavad Puran. And obviously the angle there is quite Aishvarya and quite that she's a goddess and worshipful. There's nothing about give me the adhikar to be a sakhi, nothing about give me a Tulsi, please give me resonance in a vilas kunj in Vrindavan. I mean, this prayer that we sing, which I mentioned the other day, which maybe people don't like to know, but the fact is that it's in Sadhana Amrita Chandrika. And it's written by Siddha Krishnadas in 1885 at Manasi Ganga in Govardhan. And that's why it says at the end, Tina Krishnadas or something like the last line, Sri Radha Govinda Premi, so whatever. That song, there's a couple other ones that we see in our songbook that also by Siddha Krishnadas. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan. That's also two or three bhajans in our songbook are written by Babaji. Do you know that? That's a fact. But when we translate it, at least the Chitananda, my god brother, when he translated, he said, This very fallen servant of Krishna prays. But he signed it, Krishna, he said, Dina Krishnadas or whatever. Because it's a person named Krishnadas. It's like there's Gordas or Chaitanya Das or there's Radha Mohan Das or Bhaktivinoda Shraya. You ever sing a song by Bhaktivinoda? What's the last line? Whose name is in the last line? Bhaktivinoda Thakur's name is there because it's his pada. You ever sing Narottam's song? Whose name is in the last line? Narottam's name, or maybe Ramchandra and Narottam or whatever, his favorite and best devotee friends. This is the style. So, it says this fallen servant of Krishna Das, a humble servant. Anyway, so there, of course, we're praying, again, for relationship. We're praying to Vrindadevi. So in the very beginning of our lives, we have a relationship with Vrindadevi already as sadhakas. And that becomes richer and richer and richer as we advance in the path of Raghunatha Bhakti. So therefore, in Stavavali, you'll find a verse, and so many verses, to Vrindadevi in Sankalpa Kalpa Jorma by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. In all the books of Rupa and others, there's always some pranam prayers or some meditative prayers to Vrindadevi. Tulsi Vrindadevi, because she's such a key player in arranging the kunja pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Purnamasti Yogamaya, she makes arrangements for all the rasas and all the vratis and the pastimes. Abrinda Devi especially makes the arrangements for Radha and Krishna's conjugal vilas in the groves and forests of Vrindavan in cooperation with Yogamaya Purnamasi. Purnamasi is like the overseer for the energy of all the different rasas and exchanges. But Abrinda Devi is, she's in Radharani's camp. She's Radharani's intimate Sakhi. So there, that our first relationship with a Sakhi begins with Abrinda Devi. So on the other hand, if one refuses to surrender to the Braja Gopis and worship their moods and sevas, while following in their footsteps, he will never ever attain the eternal servant of Radha and Krishna Vrindavan. And of course, the primary example I've already cited is Srimati Lakshmi Devi, who's stuck today in Bailvan and with her hands folded. In India, this pose, when you're like this, it means two things. It means humility. It means submission. It also means begging. When you're begging for something, oh please give me some of this time. Begging. So whenever it's election time in India, there's all these posters and billboards all over. You'll see the Prime Minister of India is running for re-election. A man or woman, whatever. And there's a big poster, a big advertisement, hoardings they call them, or billboards. And that person, he's the Prime Minister, he's the ruler of the second biggest country in the world. And he's in the poster, he's like this. Please vote for me. Please vote for me so I can win the election. He's begging. So from the Prime Minister down to the Radhakund Panchayat, the local managerial board of Radhakund, Radhakund Panchayat means like a village council. You could call village council, called Panchayat. And they have their little posters, vote for me. So Lakshmi Devi is in this pose. She's sitting in lotus position like this. And she's begging for votes. She wants people to vote for her. She wants the Brijvasis to please. She's begging the Brijvasis, please bless me. Please give your mercy to me, Lakshmi Devi. I am controlling all the wealth in the entire universe. If I do not favor someone, if Lakshmi Devi does not favor someone, they become a pauper. They become garib. They become poor, penniless. They don't have the favor of Lakshmi Devi. They are not bestowed wealth by Lakshmi Devi. But Lakshmi Devi, she's begging. She's poverty stricken. When it comes to the wealth of Gopi Bhav, Lakshmi Devi is poverty stricken. She's a garib, poor person. But she's begging the Brijvasis, please bless me. So they do. They come every year to bless her. Every year in Posha month, in January, it's called Posh. Very, very cold month of the year. It's right before Magh. There's Posh, there's Mrigashirsha, then Posh, then Magh. And then Falgun, then Chaitra and Vaishak, goes like this. So they come there every Thursday, because Thursday is the day to worship Durga or Devi or Saraswati or Lakshmi. So every Thursday, all the Brijvasis cross the Yamuna and they go to give blessings to Lakshmi Devi, even today. And they cook her a big feast, and a very wonderful thing. So this is in Brajavilas Stava. Raghunath Das, as I mentioned already, he prays to and glorifies the various eternal associates of Radha and Krishna and Braj, who play very important roles in their confidential pastimes in Vrindavan. I kind of said this already. In this book you'll learn that the Mandris interact with, and they speak with, and they serve side by side with the main personalities like Lalita, Vishaka, Kundalata, Dhanishta, Nandi Mukhi. Who's Nandi Mukhi? Does anybody know? There's a quiz. Who's Nandi Mukhi? Raise your hand. Nandi Mukhi literally means someone who has a mouth like a bull. Mukhi means mouth and Nandi means bull. You know, Vrisha. But she doesn't look like a bull. Who is Nandi Mukhi? Yes, She's the daughter of Purnamasi. Purnamasi, yeah. No, I think, anyway, I know she's the, gets confusing, because Purnamasi is the mother of Sandipani Muni, and Sandipani Muni's daughter is Nandi Muki, and his son is Madamungo. So Madamungo, everyone knows he's a Brahmin and he's a joker, right? So his sister's not less. Nandi Muki, I would say she's Ananda Muki. She's Ananda Muki, because from her mouth she makes everybody laugh. She's very, very funny. She's a Brahmani. And she helps in different pastimes, like the Pashakela. She's a judge there in the Pashakela, the dice game at Radhakam. And many, many pastimes she's there. So you'll learn about Nandi Muki and Subal and Sridham. Purnamasi, Nanda Baba, Rishabhan, Kirti to everyone. So in verse 30 in this book, the Raghunath Das Goswami glorifies, he mentions about Vishakha. Vishakha, of course, is his Yudhishthira. He's in the group of Vishakha. And he says, so the Sanskrit is there, but it's not a class on this verse by verse, but says May Vishakha, who is the lovely abode of love and humor. Humor means laughter. For the youthful pair, Radha and Krishna, and her singing is so amazing and so wonderful that it even defeats the singing of the cuckoos, the quails. She knows she's so expert in the art of singing. And he's praying to her, "Oh, Vishakha, please, will you be satisfied and pleased with me? And if you're happy with me, will you teach me the art of singing?" So Vishakha is a very, very expert singer. She really fully knows the art. And most all of the mantras that are coming up there, newcomers, they will go to singing school with Vishakha. They will learn how to sing from Vishakha. So I guess we could bring it down to this level, that if we don't know singing very well, we could pray to Vishakha. Or we could pray to Ramananda Roy. We could pray Ramananda Roy as Vishakha and Surup Damodara's Lalita. And Ramananda Roy, of course, he may be more merciful because he's connected to Lord Chaitanya, the ocean of mercy. And Ramananda Roy, he also is a fantastic, he being Vishakha, fantastic reciter of poetry. And he used to recite the most sweet and beautiful renditions of Krishna Karnamrita and Gita Govind and his own Jagannath Vallabha Natak to Gauranga Mahaprabhu in the confines of the Gambhir Leela with Gauranga Mahaprabhu at 1 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night. So he's very expert in that way. It's like thousands of bugs in there, you see? They're just now coming or they're always there? Are they in front of the screen also? You can see on the... Can you see bugs on the TV? I just noticed... In my eyes, I'm supposed to wear glasses now, but I just see like thousands of little entities. So imagine being the air traffic controller for those guys. There's 10,000 little tiny bugs that you can hardly see them flying in the invisibility of the sky. Seems like that was a good idea. That's intelligent. What about my head? What about everybody's head? Like when Mother Yashoda said to Krishna, "Oh, Krishna, it's such hot sun outside, you should carry an umbrella." He said, "All right, Janani, my mother, I'll take an umbrella. If you get an umbrella for all my mothers, I have 9 lakhs of cows. If you want me to have an umbrella over my head to shield it from the rain, then I want you to buy an umbrella for all the cows. Then I'll take an umbrella." So Mother shows it, "Hare Rala. I have enough money to buy 900,000 umbrellas. But speaking. I don't know how the cows will hold the umbrella. This might get a little wet. There's a possibility. But let's see. So this Nishaka is, she's exactly like Radharani in her moon and her name and her attributes. She's non-different. Vishaka is non-different from the heart of Radharani. The heart of Radharani is the heart of Vishaka. So someone is Radharani whenever she's feeling something. That's why Ramananda Roy, he was in the Gambhira with Krishna, Gauranga, Mahaprabhu. Because Lalita Vishaka, Lalita perfectly knows the heart of Krishna. Vishaka perfectly knows the heart of Radharani. Because Vishaka is one with the moods and of Radharani. So now when you have Ramananda Roy and Srup Damodar in the Gambhira, because Gauranga Mahaprabhu is Radha Krishna Yuga, mostly he's in Radha Bhav. So now the two of them can speak the heart of Radharani or the heart of Krishna, depending on the mood of Lord Chaitanya. Because when they read, when this is a little getting wet here. I don't know about the future of this glass. The shastras are getting wet and that's not good. So, it's going to start, it's going to rain, no? No? I know it's like a gopi's crying or something. But anyway, so this is the beautiful point that Vishaka and Lalita, they know the hearts of Radha Krishna perfectly, so therefore they can sing and recite poems exactly according to the need of the hearts of Radharani and Krishna at any given time during the course of their beautiful leelas together in Vraja. So then in the Gambhira, whatever mood that Mahaprabhu is entering into, either Lalita Swarup Damodara Goswami or Vishaka Rai Ramananda can sing the appropriate bhajan. For example, if Radharani is in, if Krishna in the Radha Bhava, he's very eager to hear about Krishna's glories. Srup Damodar, Lalita Sakhi, then he will start reciting Krishna Karnamrita. Krishna Karnamrita is all about Krishna, Krishna's beauty. But then if Mahaprabhu and Radha Bhav wants to hear about the moods of Radha and Krishna together, especially Radharani's mood, then Ramananda Roy, who's Vishaka, he will recite Gita Govinda. Because Gita Govinda so much reveals the man of Radharani, there's a whole chapter about Radharani's man, because he knows expertly the heart of Radharani. So then he'll recite that to nourish Mahaprabhu's desire to experience Radharani's Mahabhava and her man in connection with Krishna through the verses of the Gita Govinda. So this is the interplay of Lalita and Vishaka in relation to Radha and Krishna in the combined form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu appearing as Rai Ramananda and Srup Damodar. So Vishaka will be our music teacher. And the verse says that she's pranaya lalita narma spara bhumis tayor yama rajapura nada yunor cha kantan pikanam. You sure it's going to stop or go? I don't know. It's like, it seems like it's going more towards the go time than the stop time. I think we better have class tomorrow. Radhi.
Because all the equipment will get ruined, you know.
Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki Jai.
Hey, how you going? Can you take these books inside real fast?
Just take it in the veranda.
Just go in the veranda. There. Turn off that amplifier. The red button. Turn off the red button. Off. That button, an amplifier, off.
Why could you do it?
Tell my Russian.